The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It looks like the property market in Singapore is feeling the pinch from the ongoing issues happening around the world and in the region, like the U.S.-China trade war, the Hong Kong protests, the reduced GDP numbers in Singapore. With such external issues not coming to end anytime soon, Singapore's property market is bracing itself. But how prepared is Singapore's market to face a possible economic slowdown or even a potential recession? And what can we expect from the property market in the upcoming months? In the studio with us now, Desmond Sim, head of research Singapore and Southeast Asia at CBRE Asia Pacific, and Tricia Song, director and head of research at Colliers International. Good morning, Tricia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Desmond.
Morning, Glenn.
How are you guys doing today?
All good.
Are you concerned? Are you concerned with these headwinds that we're seeing now, potential for a tough property market in Singapore? Desmond, how do you see it?
Well, I think we are already alluding that the property market is going to be prepared for some headwinds. Of course, at this time, the moment, we are at the cusp of a technical recession, and numbers for the office markets are still seeing some growth in rental, but we are noticing that some markets are reaching a peak, and it's like the amount of unknowns out there in a market that's plaguing the sentiments. So when you walk in a place that is unknown, you tread slower, right? And you become more sensitive to news as well. What's going on?
Tricia, how do you see it at Colliers International?
Okay, I think for residential, we're still slightly positive.
Yeah.
We think that there should still be some growth, and there has been some growth in the second quarter this year. The price index, the property price index, actually went up 1.5%. But we think that for the rest of the year, it's likely to stay flat. I think right now there is still positive sentiment. Really depends on what happens to the economy going forward.
Right.
There are headwinds, definitely, but we are yet to feel it on the ground. I think that is being felt by most people as well. They still don't feel the impact of the so-called negative growth that is coming up.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Tricia. The Ministry of Trade and Industry announced yesterday, right, the GDP growth forecast in Singapore, somewhere between 0 to 1%.
Yes.
So with this, what sectors do you think will be the weakest or potentially the weakest going forward, or will there be bright spots as well?
I think in our latest reports, we actually said that industrial sector will probably be the one that has and will feel the most pain. And that has already transpired in, I would say, some of the inquiries and the interest that we have seen from our industrial services team.
Is that because of the trade war situation, what's happening with production in the
region? It has a lot to do with the trade war, as well as what we've seen in the trade numbers. The exports, the Nordex index has come down significantly, has declined for a few quarters by now.
Yep.
And that is being felt through the industrial property sector more than the others. I think for services, even for the GDP growth in the Q2 this year, we haven't really seen it coming off. It has come off sequentially, but year on year, there's still some growth. So services sector is still supporting the economy in some ways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tricia Song, director and head research at Colliers International Singapore. Also with Desmond Sim, head of research Singapore and Southeast Asia, CBRE Asia Pacific. Desmond, from an investment perspective, what looks like the timeline, the horizon for things to bottom out? Or do we have any way of knowing how long this sort of soft market is going to be impacting Singapore?
Well, if you want to talk about institutional investors, I would like to say that there is still a lot of capital in the market.
Yeah.
Right. Allocations to Asia might shrink on what's going on in terms of all the headwinds that's coming on, but there is still capital in the market. I think the problem with the market now is that Asian property is not cheap, and that's why it's forcing a lot of yield compression. So getting a positive yield spread might be a big challenge for some of the institutional investors out there. But I think we are at the cusp of the market. I think the expectations between the buyer and seller will start to widen before it narrows further, especially when more and more bad news is being received. Yep. And coming back to a question that you asked just now, I would like to say that a key thing with regards to the GDP revised forecast, 0 to 1%,
sure.
I think office might be what we call a big non-beneficiary from this forecast. Because historically speaking, in talk about office absorption, I mean, as in demand, usually it becomes positive when it goes beyond 2%. Okay. You know, so once it hits below 2%, then you can see people giving up space, then there'll be negative net absorption, and that will not speak well for the office market as well.
What does this say, or potentially say, Desmond, about the shared office space scenario? Does that make that more attractive if some of the bigger players are fleeing the traditional office spaces?
Talking about flexible space?
Flexible space, yeah. There's so much capacity in Singapore now with that.
The biggest irony of all is that the flex market has been one of the biggest demand driver for the past 12 to 18 months. But what we're seeing now is that a lot more firms are adopting a core and flex. That means they would still have their traditional office premise, but they will have a flex component because most companies have travelers, have visitors and all that. And we also have seen, my guys on the street has also seen some tech firms that they are working on to basically take out a space in a traditional office space went into a co-working space totally. And so the biggest demand driver for the office market has now basically became a part cannibalizer of the office demand itself.
Interesting. Yeah. So, Tricia, on that point, I have heard that, you know, some larger or companies who have a lot of space that aren't using it fully are subletting out desks or sections of their office suites, more like some of the flexible sharing. Have you seen that happening with any of your clients or what you've seen happening just within the market?
Not yet.
Where there's overcapacity in a particular company, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, personally, in my company, we haven't heard much of those yet. Mm-hmm. I think the services industry is still growing. I wouldn't say really healthy, but they're still growing, and we haven't actually seen people actually giving up space. In fact, people are, even the financial industry, they are moving into the equivalent space. Sure. They are not exactly shrinking much. There's still some growth in the sector, flexible workspace and technology space occupiers. They're actually taking up much of the new spaces coming up. And we are still seeing very positive net absorption. I think going forward, some of the key, I would say, catalysts, there's still some key catalysts going on would be there's actually very limited new spaces coming up for completion.
Oh, is that right?
So that will help support the office market in the near term. But that said, I agree that the economy is still, the office rentals are still very highly correlated with the GDP, the economic growth. Yeah. So if we do go negative growth for GDP, it's very unlikely that rentals could continue to grow. But I would like to say that there is some support in the fact that there's actually very limited new supply going forward.
To both of you now, Hong Kong obviously has been in the news for 10 weeks. And more recent weeks, many quarters have been saying, well, Singapore is definitely going to benefit from the unrest in Singapore. Is that bearing out in the real estate market? Desmond Sim, what do you think? Are we seeing a lot of Hong Kongers either talking about moving their real estate assets or moving and taking up real estate here? Are they talking about it? Are they actually doing it? What are your numbers showing us?
Well, funny that you brought it up because I think it's a little bit too early to mention about it because exactly the numbers are not showing too much yet. But in a nutshell, Hong Kong, Singapore, these are the two what we call financial hubs, where a lot of capital were chasing for called assets in these two markets. Singapore has got all the good points like being stable and all that. Yeah. And what has happened over the recent weeks has basically put sort of Singapore higher in the pecking order. No, but we are not seeing the numbers yet, but we are definitely watching out for it.
Tricia, what are you seeing in that regard, the Hong Kong factor with Singapore real estate?
I think if you look at the capital markets team, they are saying that they have received more interest and inquiries, but it's, as Desmond has pointed out, it's still too early to make any deductions. And we would like to think that Singapore has its own merits and strengths as an investment destination. So Singapore has always been a different flavor and risk-reward. Provides different risk reward to investors. So we don't have to be a beneficiary of any negative thing that happens to the other cities. In fact, I would say that we need stability in the entire region to be attractive as Asia. And in fact, for Hong Kongers, they have always been a key top 5 of 6 group of foreigner buyers in the Singapore residential property. Mm. And we should think that, you know, there is attraction to the Hong Kongers all along this time.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's going to change. They are not going to jump suddenly to the top buyer of Singapore properties because of this event. And I would say that because of the ABSD, the issues, the taxes, additional taxes for the residential property, that should still be a deterrent for most foreigner buyers.
Right. Colliers recently released a research radar report that examines the impact of the U.S.-China trade war on commercial market in Asia. Tricia, how will that trade war, does this report say, affect commercial real estate across the region? We've talked a little bit about Singapore. Is there a broader play here that we should be discussing?
I think our view is that there will be some beneficiaries from this, and Singapore is actually one of the key beneficiaries in terms of the office market. This report really looks at the commercial market. And for office, as we mentioned slightly earlier, it does look pretty attractive. In terms of the supply-demand dynamics, it's still very positive. And because of the stability issues, we do think, as in terms of Asia, Singapore stands out as one of the key beneficiaries from the trade war.
Desmond Sim from CBRE, how do you see it? A broader play for good news for some other of the economies across Asia because of the trade war?
The thing that basically jumps out is what we see in Vietnam. Vietnam is definitely benefiting from the trade war. We see goods shifting over to Vietnam to be manufactured there, to be assembled there. Who knows? I mean, I'm joking with my friend. In the future, your Nintendo Switch is no longer manufactured in China. It's going to be in Vietnam because Nintendo is going to shift their operations into Vietnam. So we Vietnam, Indonesia, where they don't meet the harsh tariffs from Mr. Trump himself, they are very good in manufacturing, and goods would come from there, and that will actually be a boost in their GDP.
Is the Indonesia market ready for that in terms of the real estate, the property that they have available?
I think the Indonesian market, the key thing is that the good point is that we see the second term of Mr. Jokowi.
Yeah.
And with that, I think infrastructure plans will carry on.
Right.
And that in the mid to long term would be good for Jakarta. And now there are talks that they might move the capital away from Jakarta. And I think with a little bit of longevity in his tenure, we might see infrastructure to be carried on. And if good infrastructure plans like the highways, like the metro system that's coming up will definitely benefit the real estate market.
Talk about a boom for real estate, huh, in Indonesia if they do end up moving that capital. Wow, that's going to be an amazing thing. Tricia, as we look forward to the economic slowdown that is happening already, how can Singapore's real estate market best prepare for that? Is there anything that companies can do to be ready for that in terms of the real estate?
I think what we recommend for corporate users, occupiers, is to review your rentals, your leases, to see whether you can take advantage. If your lease is coming out in the next 1 to 2 years, maybe you want to think about where you want to go next. If rentals are going to come down or soften a little bit, or just move laterally, would you want to go to upgrade to a better location for that same budget? Or if you want to to go to renegotiate in the same location, look at the longer lease term to tide you through this period.
Okay, that's interesting. And Desmond, I'll give you the last word this morning. What do you feel like would be the strategy to go forward to take advantage of, or not to take advantage, but to safeguard against the economic woes coming ahead?
Actually, taking advantage is a good word. I think in the first place, let's not forget that we are not in this alone. It's a global downturn.
Interesting.
Right? So everybody's in this. And sometimes in a downturn, there's a Chinese word called wei qi, which is basically crisis. Mm. Right? That means within danger, there's also opportunities. So I think going forward, most institutional investors, I think cash is king for them, or growing capital is king for them.
Yeah.
Because as the market faces a downturn, you put more pressures on capital values, you create more opportunities out there, and when you have grown enough capital, that's where you can start to deploy again.
Very interesting. All right, our thanks to Tricia Song, Director and Head of Research at Colliers International Singapore, and Desmond Sim, Head of Research, Singapore and Southeast Asia at CBRE Asia Pacific. Thanks for that great discussion on what's happening in the property market with the backdrop of what's happening in the economy. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.